Grace, mercy, and peace are yours this day from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Does anybody find it at least a little bit strange, our gospel reading for today? Our gospel reading accounts for us the triumphal entry of Jesus on that Palm Sunday. Yet here we are standing on the doorstep of Advent, the first Sunday of Advent. And maybe at first glance it might seem a little bit strange that a reading is given to us this Sunday to reflect on that's normally reserved for a different time of the year. But maybe as we think about it, it's not so strange after all. As we've been reminded today, Advent means coming. And so maybe it's fitting that for our gospel reading this morning, we see the coming of our Lord and Savior as he rides in to the streets of Jerusalem. The coming of God himself, who took on flesh to come and be among us, to come and demonstrate his love for us in a most profound way. Maybe it's a good thing that we start at this point in our journey as we begin this season of Advent, a season filled with excitement, a season filled with anticipation, the excitement that our Savior has come, that our Lord God has indeed put on flesh to dwell among us, a season of anticipation that, unlike that humble entrance, that calm and silent night in Bethlehem, He will come again. And this time there will be nothing calm and silent about it. The trumpets will blast and the choirs will sing and the angels will sing the praises of the Lamb and he'll come to take us all home. Lots of reasons for this sense of excitement and anticipation. What are some of the ways that your family celebrates this anticipation during this Advent season? One of the most exciting things for me and my family, I love the Christmas shows. I love the Christmas movies. I love the cartoons. I love those classic shows that we might have on DVD that we look forward to breaking out every Christmas time and watching once again. And one of my favorite Christmas cartoons is Frosty the Snowman. Oh, I'm sorry, I owe myself a quarter. It's really not a Christmas cartoon. It's more of a winter cartoon. But it's still fun nevertheless. Who can forget the story of the snowman that comes to life? Yeah, the children were gathered around and it was the last day of school before their Christmas break, and wouldn't you know, and the first snow of the year begins to fall. And so with the help of Professor Hinkle's magic hat, Frosty the Snowman comes to life. Happy birthday, he says. And the children begin to dance around with all sorts of joy and glee. And then someone says, I have an idea. In the midst of all the excitement, someone says, let's have a party. Let's have a parade. And so the band starts to play and the children march through the town. They march through all the busy Christmas shoppers. They march through the traffic there at rush hour and even past the traffic cop. And everywhere they march, the heads turned. The heads turned in amazement. Well, what's so amazing about a snowman come to life? A snowman come to life? Oh, it was very exciting. Everybody loves a parade. And at the risk of sounding somewhat sacrilegious, now we turn from Frosty the Snowman to our gospel reading. The excitement and the sense of anticipation must have been very similar on that day in Jerusalem. You see, the people had gathered. The families had come. All of the people of God had traveled for hundreds of miles to come for the greatest feast of the year, for the highest and holiest day of their faith. Do you remember? They were there on that Palm Sunday, they had gathered for the Passover. Yeah, they had gathered there to celebrate with one another one of the most glorious and miraculous things that their God had done. When he had rescued their ancestors hundreds of years ago from slavery in Egypt. How he delivered them with his mighty hand into eventually the promised land. They gathered there to celebrate that day, to celebrate their own freedom. And so they were excited. There would be parties and there would be music and there would be feasting and there would be that traditional roast beast that they so looked forward to. Now there was a sense of excitement that day as they gathered to celebrate. And in the midst of all their excitement, once again, a parade broke out. A parade broke out. Who was this grand marshal that was leading the throng? Was it a king being escorted by armed guards? Was it a celebrity of some sort? Was it a warrior who came marching in, riding on a white horse majestically through the town? No. It was none of these things. No, this grand marshal was someone of humble means. He came riding in on a beast of burden, on a donkey instead. And he was surrounded by a small band of 12 disciples who came along with him. And heads began to turn. And people started to wonder, who is this head of this parade? And the answers must have varied. Well, this is Jesus, the prophet from Galilee. Isn't he the one that was born of peasant parents, Joseph and Mary? Wasn't he the one that was born in a stable? But others said, oh no. Have you seen the things that he has said and done over the past several weeks, months, and 2 or 3 years? In fact, it could be that this is the one that we've been waiting. This is the coming one, the Messiah, the one that our Lord has promised. Because in fact, as Isaiah had foretold, the blind do see. As a result of him, the lame do walk, the dead do live again. Maybe this is the one that we've been waiting for. Maybe this is the Messiah. And so they laid their coats down on that dusty road to protect this important celebrity from the dust. And some laid down palm branches, but they all shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they must have wondered, could this celebration this year, the reason that we've all gathered, could this one be different from in years past? This is Jesus, the prophet from the region of Galilee, they said. And we know that that answer is really only partially true. That answer is really quite partially true. This is God having come in the flesh. This is the long promised one. The one that God promised way back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He said, I will send one who will come bearing gifts. Yeah. This parade, in fact, would take a right-hand turn out of Jerusalem and head towards a hill not far out of town. And in that parade, Jesus would again be that grand marshal. But in this case, he would not be riding on a beast of burden. He himself would be the beast of burden. He would be carrying his own cross. He would be carrying all of that guilt that you and I would otherwise carry. He would be carrying that sin and that fallenness that we all share as part of humanity. He would be carrying that where on that hill he would deliver a profound gift of love. The gift of forgiveness for you and for me. That gift of a promise, eternal life, an inheritance that we will all receive. That gift that in God's kingdom there is no room for our guilt, there is no room for our shame. There is no room for our feeling of inadequacy. No, he came to deliver the gift of this message that you and I are children of the Most High God who came and took on flesh so that above all else, we would know that we are deeply loved by him. Yeah, that parade took a profound right turn that day. And that is the reason why we gather. That's the reason why we celebrate. That we are forgiven and free sons of the Most High God. And so there's excitement in the air and a sense of anticipation that he's going to come again. And he'll come and make all things new and take us home to be with him. And so we celebrate in anticipation of that this Advent season. We celebrate and we look forward to the Christmas parties and the Christmas feast, the music and the decorations. Our Christmas tree is partially up too. Our lights all work too, Andrew. How many trips do we have to go to Walmart just to set up the Christmas tree? You know what I mean? But the decorations are part of the fun. And the other night I was driving home from work. It seems like almost every night there's a new house that's being decorated. The lights, I mean, some of them rival that of Clark Griswold, if you're a Christmas Vacation fan. I can just imagine their meter is spinning. And I slowed down just the other night on my way home from work to look at some of the new displays. Some of them are fun. There's Rudolph and his tiny reindeer friends. Look at the size of the Santa in that yard. And here's one with the Grinch, and he's wearing a Santa hat. That one is fun. The lights on this one and the grandeur on all of them. But finally, I came to one, and I have to admit, it caught my attention. I actually, so much so that I pulled off to the side of the road a little bit. This was a nativity scene. And there was that humble beginning that our Savior come into this world. There was Joseph and Mary. And I had to pull over because I had to look. If there was Jesus in that feeding trough. He wasn't as grand as Frosty. He wasn't as big as Santa or the Grinch. But is he ever? To you and me, he is the reason that we prepare, the reason that we celebrate and gather this Advent season. And I remember thinking to myself, this Jesus, humble and unobtrusive among the other flashy decorations, I wonder how many people know him this Christmas. I wonder how many people know the depth and the breadth of the gifts that he brings to all of humanity. I wonder how many people know him this year. I wonder if this year will be different this Advent and this Christmas. I wonder if it'll be different from years past. I have an idea. As God's people, redeemed by His precious blood, let's have a party. Let's have a parade. Let's march not with some fictitious snowman that's come to life, but no, let's march behind the grand marshal named Jesus Christ, who came and gave life and forgiveness to the world, who came and gave it to you. Yes, let's have our celebrations be larger than life. Let's have them be bigger than Frosty the Snowman. Let's have our singing be truly about Him. Let's have our celebrations be bigger than any other, so that those will take notice and heads will turn. What is it about these Christians that they seem to be more joyous and jubilant than those who are simply celebrating Frosty the Snowman and the Grinch? What is it about you? Who is this that you Christians are celebrating? And we'll answer our friends and our neighbors and our co-workers and our relatives. We'll say, this is Jesus of Nazareth, more than a prophet, more than a teacher, more than an earthly king. No, this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who comes bearing gifts for you. He comes so that you would know the depth of God's love for you, so that you would be forgiven of all your sins, so that this barrier that once stood between God and man would be torn to shreds, and we stand in God's presence, and we celebrate. Yeah, let's have a parade. Let's have a party, so that all Christians will rise up and turn heads this Advent season. Maybe this year will be different from years past. How will it be different for you? How will it be different in your family? This is Advent, and we're preparing. And that question is part of our preparation. And I pray, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who has come to us bearing gifts, will be the center of all your Advent excitement and anticipations this season. Amen.